Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. A reminder, if you haven't already, I do encourage you to check out Slime Incorporated. It's my first mystery novel. It's a story in which private investigator Cole Eustick deals with a case of murder and dirty politics against the backdrop of the Idaho gubernatorial election. It's a modern detective novel, but with a lot of nods to classic detective fiction. You can pick it up as a paperback, or as an ebook, or also as an audiobook through Audible.com or the iTunes Store. Well, now we're going to get into today's episode of Boston Blackie. And this one is going to be hard to explain the date on. I think I should say that the exact date is unknown. However, we can say safely that it could not have been before May the 12th of 1948. And that's because it has a teaser at the end for another lost episode of Boston Blackie. So you had two episodes in a row missing. And essentially, after they added the teasers at the end in 1947, the first time we had two consecutive missing episodes was either in May or June of 1948. Now, most sets of Boston Blackie have no episodes in between last week's show and June 23rd. However, I will say that Dennis at the Digital Deli, in his log, has episodes from May 12th and May 19th that are circulating somewhere. I can't find them. As well as two episodes where we have titles which don't correspond to today's episode, which would mean that the earliest that it could, that this could have aired would have been June 9th of 1948. Though other logs would say that the earliest that it could have aired would have been May 12th. At any rate, I don't think it's the last available episode, so I decided to play it here rather than at the end of the run. And after all that, you probably want the title. And it's John Davis is Murdered Twice. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Better not make so much noise fiddling with that lock, Sergeant.
Don't worry.
But if Barton's in this room, he'll be waiting for us with a gun.
Not one gun, but a dozen of them. He's a walking arsenal.
Well, I'm hoping he's a sleeping arsenal this time of night.
So am I. The door is unlocked. Get your gun ready. I'm going to open the door.
Okay, go ahead.
Right.
There he is, Sergeant, in his bed there, fast asleep.
Yeah, and look, Johnny. He must have hurt himself dropping when he went over the prison wall last week.
That looks like it.
His right arm is in a cast.
He swore he'd never take him alive. Come on, let's get him.
Keep him covered now. All right, Barton, wake up. Wake up.
Wake up and have a look at this gun in my hand, Barton.
Gun?
Yes, Barton. You ought to know a gun when you see one. You want me to prove it's a gun? Get cute.
A couple of cops
are going to take you back to the prison you broke out of.
Can't do much about it either with that cast on your arm, and I hope it hurts real bad.
It's going to hurt you worse than it does me, copper. It's not covering a broken arm, it's covering a gun.
Johnny, look out! Hey,
that's two less of you guys I have to worry about.
And now on to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie, enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to to those who have no friend.
What are you trying to do with that pistol, Barton? Flatten down the firing pin?
Just testing the action on the trigger. It's got a nice light touch, Putsy. A real hair trigger.
Faster than the gun you used on those two cops who came to get you.
Yeah.
You know, I think you got more guns than brains, Barton.
When I got a gun, I don't need no brains.
You find out.
Guns do my thinking for me.
Well, they do your talking for you anyhow. Look, you swore you was going to get Ross and Davis when you got out of jail.
Yeah, that's right.
You going to do it?
I didn't bust jail just for the fresh air.
Good. I found out where they live, just like you told me.
Good.
Davis lives not far from here. Ross has a house uptown.
Davis lives closer, huh?
That's right, just across town.
Okay, we'll let Ross live a little while.
It's up to you.
In fact, maybe we'll let Ross live till tomorrow so he can worry a while.
He might take a powder if you give him too much time.
Let him run. I swore I'd get Ross and Davis for sending me up, and I'm going to do it. Come on. We'll get Davis right now.
You don't have to phone me to tell me about Inspector Faraday.
What?
I heard about Barton on the radio.
Well, look, Davis, when Barton broke jail, it was to do two things. Get even with you and Joe Ross.
I know. He screamed that at me during his trial when I testified against him. I know he hates Ross, but he's more bark than bite.
He killed two policemen last night. And what barked was his gun.
I heard about that on the radio, too. So what?
So Barton's still on the loose. He'll be after you next. I want to give you police protection.
All right. Now, come down to headquarters right away.
Now you're talking sense. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Come in. You. You. Well, put the thing down. No. Don't. Yes.
Oh, Blackie. Look, if Davis isn't here at his home, where do you think he is?
I don't know, Mary. The Faraday says Davis promised to come down to headquarters half an hour ago if he hasn't shown up. Yeah, I think I'll try the door.
Well, you know, we'd save a lot of time if you tried doors first and rang the doorbells after.
Yes, we would, wouldn't we? Yeah, let's go in and have a look around.
Okay.
Oh.
Blackie. An awful fight in here. This room's a mess.
Yes, Mary. If those feet sticking out from behind that sofa over there belong to Davis,
huh?
I know why he didn't show in Faraday's office.
Would you know, Davis, if you saw him?
Certainly, I was at Barton's trial. On Davis' testimony, he sent Barton to prison. Yeah. Yes, Mary, it's Davis, all right.
You mean it was Davis?
That's right, with a knife in his heart.
Well, it looks as if that escaped convict Barton got here a little before we did.
I wonder if it was Barton.
Huh?
He never used anything but a gun, Mary. And Davis, he was stabbed to death.
Well, he might have used a knife this time just to break the monotony.
I doubt it.
Blackie, hey. What was that?
Something in the back room was knocked over.
Huh?
Going to have a look.
Now, Blackie, be careful.
First, I'll have to be quick. This would happen. The door's jammed.
Get back, Blackie. Whoever it is may shoot through the door.
Whoever it is probably getting out the back way. I'll have to break the door down.
Now, Blackie, don't. Let him get away, whoever it is. Be careful. Take it easy.
There.
Oh, thank goodness. Room's empty.
Yes, Mary. By the looks of it, someone was searching for something.
Oh?
It's as torn up as the other room where we found Davis.
I know he was chasing whoever it was. He's a block away by now.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I'd just as soon not have you get any closer to that fellow Barton anyway.
Well, I'm not sure it was Barton who was just here, Mary.
What?
But I'm going to phone Faraday with a little scheme to bring him here.
Yeah?
After I call, we'll see if he'll call my bluff.
I'll say one thing for you.
Yeah?
I phoned both you and Davis to come down here to my office, but you had the brains to show up.
Well, you gave me such an argument over the phone, Inspector Faraday, I had to come down.
Yeah.
And I'm not staying.
You're
not afraid of Bud.
That's what Davis said, too. But two policemen are already dead. Barton's on the loose, and if he keeps his promise, both you and Davis will be dead, too.
Yeah, I can take care of myself, Inspector.
Yeah. In 24 hours, I'll be taking care of your dead body. Hold it. Faraday, homicide.
Hello, Inspector. This is Blackie.
Oh, you're all I need.
I never thought you'd admit it, pal.
I admit nothing.
Which is just about what you know, too.
Look, brilliant.
Faraday, my friend, when you told me Davis hadn't shown up at your office, I thought I'd drop in on him and just see why not.
Yeah.
Well, I know why not. He's dead.
Dead, huh? Barton got to him, huh?
I don't know who got to him, but I have a hunch it wasn't Barton. And I have an idea I can find out.
Oh, don't bother.
How soon can you get here?
Right away, meaning a half hour.
Swell. In the meantime, don't tell anyone Davis is dead. And I mean don't tell anyone.
Right.
I'll explain when you get here. So long.
So long. Ross.
Yeah?
I have to leave for a while. I want you to stay here.
You want me to stay here or I have to stay here?
I'm not holding you for anything but your own good.
Look, Inspector, when you leave here, I leave here. And from now on, leave me alone.
Blackie.
Yes, Mary.
It's amazing how alive Davis looks sitting in his chair.
Stay back in the shadows, Mary, or I may be propping you up, too.
Well, the only light in the room is shining on Davis. No one can see me, Blackie. And I'm beginning to think no one's going to come looking.
It's only been 10 minutes since we set Davis up in that chair. And it may be hours before the trick works.
You still think it wasn't Barton who stabbed Davis?
Yes, Mary, but I think it was Barton we heard in the next room.
Oh?
And if he comes back and tries to kill Davis, I know I'm right.
Oh, yeah, that would prove that Barton doesn't know that Davis is already dead. But it might be... Blackie, look! At the window.
Yes, it's Barton.
And another man, too.
Stay back, Mary.
Okay.
Barton may be looking in just to make sure that Davis is dead. On the other hand, he may shoot at him through the window. Oh, why didn't Faraday hurry?
Blackie, he shot at Davis.
Duck, Mary.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot at him.
Blackie, hit him.
But I didn't stop him. He's getting away.
Oh, Blackie, he may be waiting outside that door.
I'm ready for him if he is. Oh, darn it, he got away, Mary.
No.
Maybe I did hit him, but he and his pal aren't in sight.
Oh, Faraday's going to be awful unhappy when he hears about this.
I'm not exactly overjoyed myself.
Yeah, I can see that.
But anyway, I did find out one thing I wanted to know.
That Barton didn't kill Davis.
Right.
Oh, Blackie, as long as we know who didn't kill him, I know what our problem is now.
You do?
Well, sure. Who done it?
Take a picture of you, sir. Have it developed before you leave the club.
Go away.
If you raise your head from that table, I bet I can take a real good picture.
I've said go away. I'm resting.
Oh, you, Doc. Sorry, didn't recognize the back of your head. Sorry I disturbed you.
Oh, it's perfectly all right, my dear. I had a big night last night. Very serious operation, you know, and I was the chief surgeon.
Oh, you're kidding, Doc. They kicked you out of the medical profession 10 years ago.
Please go away. You see I'm resting.
Sure, sure. I take a picture of you, sir. Having developed
a club. Take a long suit with you, friend. Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc. Come on, wake up.
What? Young man, I'm not asleep. I'm just resting.
In a nightclub? What do? You're real sleeping in a blacksmith shop?
Young man, I officiated at a major operation last night. I'm terribly fatigued.
Skip it. I was told who you are and where I could find you.
Oh? And who am I?
I didn't think you knew.
Now, man, if you insist on
being... Skip it, Doc. Skip it and listen. You're Doc Withers.
Dr. Withers?
Maybe once you were, but not anymore.
What do you mean?
I'm Putzy.
Well, you should see a doctor.
That's my name, stupid. I was sent here to pick you up.
Well, that won't be necessary, I assure you.
We'll see.
Who sent you to get me?
Tom Barton.
Oh.
Barton says thanks for putting that plastic cast on his arm so he could keep a gun underneath of it. He says to tell you it works swell.
Well, so my radio informed me. Now, my good man...
Don't good man me. Barton needs you again right now.
I'm sorry, but I'm relaxing.
Barton's in your office, Doc. He's got a bullet in him. He wants you to take it out.
Well, I'm very sorry, believe me, but I'm much too fatigued.
Doc, you heard what I said? That Barton's got a bullet in him?
Well, please believe I'm sorry.
You don't know how sorry you're liable to be. Barton said if you don't come up and take that bullet out of him, that I should put one in you.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Cox Convict Jim Barton avoids capture a week after his escape from prison by killing two policemen. Later, John Davis, whose testimony put Barton behind bars, is stabbed to death. On a hunch that Davis was not killed by Barton, Boston Blackie makes it appear that Davis is still alive. Barton then appears and pumps two bullets into Davis's already dead body. Blackie shoots at Barton, but the latter gets away. As we return to our story, Inspector Faraday is with Blackie at the scene of Davis's death.
Blackie, your story is crazy, as usual.
But Faraday, as usual, it's true. You heard what the medical examiner said when he was here.
It's true, too, Inspector Faraday. Davis was shot after he was dead.
Miss Wesley, I heard the medical examiner say the knife wound killed Davis a good half hour or more before he was shot.
And, Inspector, as Mary will tell you, it was Barton who came to that window and shot the guy.
Which means that Blackie was right, Inspector. Barton didn't stab Davis. If he had, he wouldn't have come here to shoot him.
I know all that. And I know two policemen are dead. Now Davis. The next thing I know, Joe Ross will get it.
He's the other witness who sent Barton up, isn't he?
Yeah, he refuses police protection. Maybe what happened to Davis here will make him change his mind.
Give me Ross's address and phone number if he has one. Maybe I'll change his mind for him.
Hey, look, Ross wants to be left alone. That means by you, too.
Really?
Anyway, the guy I'm interested in is Barton.
I think one of my shots hit Barton, Inspector. Yeah. If so, I have an idea where I can be found.
Where?
There's a guy named Withers who was a doctor before he lost his license.
Mm-hmm.
If he hasn't given up his practice, it makes everything perfect for me.
Easy now, there.
Look, Withers, get this bullet out of me in a hurry up about it, will you?
I just got here, Barton. You can't expect me to do this without getting prepared for it.
Yeah.
Isn't as easy as putting that cast on your arm was.
Who wants it to be easy? I want it to be good. Now make it quick.
I'm working as fast as I can. Now, you just lie here quietly. I have to go into my other office and get some chloroform. I left it on my desk, I think.
Well, hurry, will you? Maybe you've got lots of time, but I haven't.
I'll be right back.
You better be.
Who is it?
Someone to see Doc Withers.
What do you want with him?
Got a job for him.
Just a minute till I unlock the door. Come right in.
Thanks, Doc.
I'm sure I... Oh, it's you, Blackie. Get out.
Get out.
Oh, no, thank you.
Out of my office.
You sound just like Inspector Faraday. Sorry, now that I'm in, I'm going to stay in.
What do you want?
A man named Tom Barton. Where is he?
I don't know.
You're lying with us. I have reason to believe he has a bullet in him. And if he isn't here to have it taken out, he was here or he will be.
I've never seen the man.
Then he hasn't shown up yet, so I'll wait till he does.
I don't like to keep people waiting, Blackie. Don't move.
Well, if it isn't Tom Barton, gun and all.
Barton, lie down. You're a sick man.
Don't you worry about me then, Doc. Worry about Blackie. He's going to be a lot worse than sick in a minute.
My, I'm so worried.
Barton, don't kill him here. Please don't. Take him out in the country somewhere.
Nothing doing, Doc. Blackie's too tricky.
Please, Barton, not here.
Okay, Doc. Go get my pal Putzy and tell him I want a car and quick.
But
beat it, Doc. Do like I say. You'll get the same thing Blackie does.
All right. I'll go get Putzy.
Now do that, Doc. I'll do the same for you sometime.
Shut up, Blackie. Back up against that desk and be quiet.
I'm backing up, but it's hard for me to be quiet when I really have so much to say.
I'll do the talking.
You mean your gun isn't going to speak for you?
Shut up.
I'm glad to hear that.
It's going to speak plenty, Blackie. It's the last thing you're going to hear.
Oh, I guess you've got me so nervous, Barton, that I'm knocking things over.
Stand still and you won't. So you're the great Boston Blackie, huh?
Well,
the famous Boston Blackie. The guy so smart he can get out of any kind of a jam. Hey, what'd you knock over? That stuff smells.
Too much competition for you?
Cute kid. You can't do anything cute about me, Blackie.
I'm gonna kill you.
Put a couple of bullets in you, right?
Right, Willow.
Hey, what's wrong in here? I'm getting sleepy.
I read it.
Shoot you before
before.
That bottle I knocked over was full of chloroform, Bart. I knocked over a bottle, and now you. Now, Barton, you'll really sleep. When the chloroform started to put you under, I came out on top.
So Barton's up in your office with a gun on Boston Blackie, huh, Doc?
I guess Barton wants you to help carry Blackie out, Patsy, to bump him off.
It'll be a pleasure. It's about time somebody got that guy Blackie out of the way.
Well, dead or alive, I want him out of my office in a hurry.
Leave it to me.
And I don't want you to be seen carrying him out.
I won't be. Hey, look. There's a guy on the floor outside your office.
What?
Somebody's standing beside him with his back to us.
Barton, you fool. What's the idea of bringing Blackie's body out in the hall?
Yeah, why bring him out?
I'm not Barton with us.
Blackie!
This is Boston Blackie, Haddock.
Yes, Pacini's apparently killed Barton.
No, Barton's not dead. Just asleep. And your office is full of chloroform. Come on, you two. I'm delivering you both to Faraday.
You ain't delivering me anywhere, Blackie.
Oh, why not? Come here, you. All right, Doc. You're next.
No. No, Blackie. Don't hit me. I haven't done anything. Honestly, I haven't done a thing.
That's right, Doc. In your entire life, you haven't done a thing, honestly.
Well, Blackie, this is one time we're welcome in Inspector Faraday's office.
Yeah.
Let's sit down and enjoy it here for a change.
Well, Faraday should have been glad to see us, Mary. I not only brought in Barton, but Barton's pal Putsy and Doc Withers as well.
They certainly were a sorry-looking threesome when the inspector took them out of here to lock them up.
Weren't they?
You know, I don't understand something.
What's that, Mary?
Well, if the chloroform you spilled knocked Mr. Barton out, why didn't it have any effect on you?
I held my breath from the time that I knocked the bottle over till Barton was sleepy enough to be knocked out.
Oh, I see.
Then I dragged Barton out in the hall so the chloroform wouldn't kill him and waited for Doc to come back with Putsy.
And then brought them all down here together.
That's right.
Well, I guess this case is over.
Oh, no, no, Mary, it's not.
It's not.
Barton didn't kill Davis.
What?
When Barton shot Davis, Davis was already dead.
Oh, that's right. I'm always forgetting little things like that.
Well, I'm not forgetting that Davis was stabbed, not shot.
Oh?
And I have a hunch who did the stabbing, too.
Who?
A man named Ross.
Ross?
He hated Davis. You remember him. He was another one of the witnesses who sent Barton to jail.
Oh, yeah.
Blackie, you have all three of them locked up.
Swell, Faraday. I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
To see a guy named Ross. I think he figures in the Davis killing case.
Are you crazy? Why would he kill Davis?
He's the only one who can answer that, Faraday. That's why I'm going to see him.
Look.
Hey, come on, Mary. Okay. I may need your help.
Oh, it's so nice to be needed, darling. Goodbye, Inspector.
Goodbye, Miss Wesley. Blackie, I still don't know why you think Ross killed Davis.
Well, maybe it's just because I have an evil mind. See you later. So long.
Now what? Faraday, homicide.
Inspector Faraday, this is Ross.
Oh, yeah, Ross. I've been thinking about you.
I just heard on the radio that Barton has been captured. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I got him locked up.
Good. Then your worries are over, and so are mine.
I guess so. But Blackie just left here on his way to see you.
See me?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You didn't say.
No?
Hey, Ross, maybe you better come down here and see me again.
Don't worry about me, Inspector. I know how to take care of myself. And Boston Blackie, too.
Hello, Ross.
Oh, Blackie.
Yeah.
Come in. I was expecting you long before this.
Oh, you knew I was coming, did you?
Yeah, your friend Inspector Faraday told me about it.
I see.
What took you so long? Almost have a change of heart on the way?
No, no, not exactly.
No?
Nice place you have here, Ross.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Well, take a good look around, because you may soon be moving to other quarters. Headquarters, to be exact.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What for?
For killing Davis.
What makes you think I killed him?
Well, in the first place, I know Barton didn't kill him. First, because Davis was stabbed to death, and Barton always uses a gun.
Yeah?
And second, because Barton shot Davis after Davis was dead.
That still has nothing to do with me.
It has everything to do with you, Ross. You had a grudge against Davis. It came out when you and Davis both testified at Barton's trial. When Barton escaped from prison, you saw a chance to kill Davis and get away with it, because it would look as if Barton had killed him.
You're a pretty smart guy, aren't you, Blackie?
Smart enough to know you killed Davis and why. And also smart enough to find the knife that killed Davis and trace it to you.
Yeah? Well, you won't have to look far.
Glad to hear that.
Here's the knife.
Good.
I'll give it to you. Right through the heart.
No, thanks, Ross. That's your arm. Now have a sample of mine. All right, Ross, get up. Now let's take you and your knife to Faraday.
Yeah, you're just lucky, Blackie. Lucky you're not dead.
Yeah, I certainly am. You know those stars you just saw when I clipped you? Well, I live under one of them.
You know, Blackie,
yeah.
If you ever give up this apartment of yours, I want it. I love the view from this window.
Well, it is a little better than the view from where Barton, Putsy Palmer, Doc Withers, and Ross are sitting, Mary.
You certainly made a haul this time, didn't you?
And Ross made quite a confession when police proved the knife Ross tried to stab me with was the knife that killed Davis.
Mr. Ross wouldn't have tried to stab you if Inspector Faraday hadn't warned him you were on your way to see it.
Oh, yes, he would.
He was.
Faraday told him I was coming in hopes that Ross would make a break, and he did. And we got him to talk.
Smart, aren't you?
Sure. After I got his knife, it was a cinch to make him fork over that confession.
Well, Blackie, you just heard the evidence I gave the grand jury.
I heard it.
John Sawyer's going on trial for murder, which means this is one case I solved without your help.
Well, why not, Faraday? You have more evidence against Sawyer than grudges against me.
And that's plenty.
But congratulations, anyway.
I've never had a tighter case against a guy in all my years in the department.
It's a switch.
It was Sawyer's gun that killed Jones. Sawyer had both motive and opportunity.
Don't tell me. I heard the evidence you gave to the grand jury.
Yeah.
Quite an audience you had.
Yeah, if it were you, you would have knocked yourself out taking bows. But me, I'm going to really spring something at the trial.
What, for instance?
Jones had a brother.
Oh, really?
He heard Sawyer and Jones arguing just before the shooting. Sawyer left, but then went around the house, came in the back way, shot Jones.
Well, that'll do it all right. Is that what Jones' brother says, or something you can prove?
I can prove it. I have casts of Sawyer's footprints taken from the mud in the backyard.
Well, no wonder you didn't need me on this case. It seems to... Hey, who's this coming down the hall?
Huh?
Look familiar?
Yeah, that's a guy with a lot of dough, a lot of connections.
Oh.
He's head of the Evans Manufacturing Company.
Evans Manufacturing Company?
Right.
You mean he manufactures Evanses?
I feel so good, even bad jokes don't bother me. morning, Mr. Evans.
Oh, good morning, Inspector Faraday.
How are you?
I was hoping I'd find you before you left the building. I just heard about the grand jury's decision.
You mean on the Sawyer case?
Yes.
What about it, Evans?
You say Jones was shot and killed at 5 o'clock last Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, he was. Sawyer was at Jones's house at the time.
Inspector Faraday, John Sawyer was 5 miles from Jones's home at 5 o'clock last Tuesday.
What?
That's right. He was at the corner of 5th and Elm at 5 o'clock last Tuesday afternoon. I know, because I was there and saw him.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I did like Blackie's method of proving that Mandel Kramer's character didn't do it by, you know, leaving the corpse out so that he would come and murder it again. At least I like it in theory. In practice, it kind of ends up defacing the corpse and kind of makes it, in theory, more difficult to solve. So I guess I have mixed feelings on that. In terms of the case in general, this is one of those ones where they've got an intriguing setup, but the solution's just not all that satisfying. So there's this rivalry between these two guys, and one of them wants the other one dead. And instead of hoping that the actual killer does it, they go out and they kill the guy, but in a way that's different from how this gunman operates. So it's a rather weak overall decision-making process, and one of those Boston Blackie murderers that's just not too bright. And also, since we're not going to actually get to hear the episode that was teased, shouldn't grand jury testimony be secret? I mean, maybe someone acquainted with the history of law can point out, oh yeah, in New York City, we just, you know, talked about grand jury proceedings and people went in and watched them all the time. But given the nature of grand juries, somebody shouldn't be able to say, oh, I saw you testify in the grand jury. But thank goodness for the teaser. That way I can nitpick episodes that we didn't actually get to see. All right. Listener comments and feedback now. And we have this from Bill. And this is regarding episode 2802, the Joe Ingles bombing murder. Hi, Adam. Mind you, the only thing Boston Blackie is better known for than its puns is its use of characters with verbal tics. Mind you, used sparingly, it can be effective, but the writers tend to overuse it. But mind you, they struck the right balance in this episode. Well, thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate you giving the comment and also just getting into the spirit of the show. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. I do want to thank our Patreon of the day. Thank you so much to Scott, who is supporting us at the Master Detective level, and he's been one of our Patreon supporters since June of 2016. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Then next Tuesday, Richard Diamond returns, and then we'll be back next Thursday, another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.